This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Junior Cho, CEO of Zurich General Insurance Malaysia. Junior, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So a COVID-19 vaccine appears to be on the horizon, but with new daily cases still in the thousands, we're still pretty far from a vaccine-free future, and insurance players have had to step up. So what about you at Zurich? What kind of COVID medical coverage have you introduced, for example?
So we've done a number of different things to help promote and encourage people to move forward with vaccination and provide protection. Last year, we were one of the first to launch a COVID-19 PA. So at the point of if you need hospitalization or untimely death, you'll get a coverage. What we've done is similar to the industry is provided a number of different kind of propositions that we think would work best for the consumers. And that's not necessarily tied to the vaccination of COVID, but in terms of the impact that COVID has had to the livelihood of Malaysians. The second is that we've launched a vaccination cover. So many people are pretty worried in terms of the side effects. So for adverse effects that require any hospitalization, or if you are unlucky because there's death that is on a post-vaccination basis, we've recently launched a product that we're offering this to our partners, our employees, and our customers to provide that peace of mind.
Have you seen much in the way of claims for these new measures yet?
No. Not necessarily. We haven't seen that. I mean, the industry has put together with a lot of the players, the association has put together a fund, and that fund adoption has not been really high. I don't think it was. So if you look at last year, there was a big concern in terms of the rising kind of cases and what the impact would be. Surprisingly, it has been well managed. I mean, the government has done a very good job in terms of managing and the public complying. And yes, there's been volatility in terms of the numbers, but we've not seen an alarming rate if you compare it to, let's say, the US or some of the other European countries. So we've not seen an alarming rate in terms of the claims from the statistics we've seen recently.
How would you say COVID-19 has changed the way the insurance industry, and yourselves in particular, whether it's changed the way that the insurance industry underwrites risk?
Well, I think the first thing is the normal way of how we engage with consumers has taken a pivot. I think that what we've taken in terms of the interpretation of what the customer needs are have also had to pivot, right? So that is in the form of the propositions that we offer to the consumers, but also the way the technology platform that we need. And a lot of people have talked about how COVID accelerated digitalization, right? And I think there is some truth to that. To give you an example, when we had the lockdown, the adoption of digitalization for a lot of our agents was relatively low. People knew that it was a rising trend, but no one really took advantage of it. When the lockdown happened that prevented people from leaving their homes or even visiting their agents, but they needed coverage, a lot of our agents weren't alert. So we offered this mobile landing site where people can send links to renew their motor insurance if they're covered in their homes. So without having to have that engagement. And that took a massive rise. And we've seen adoption now. Has that adoption continued? Probably not at the pace that we've seen last year, but it has brought digitalization and the need to think differently at the forefront for companies like us and what we have to offer. I think the second thing is the proposition that we have offered. You know, we launched a 6-month motor insurance, and in the past, the 6-month motor cover that you wanted, you would have to pay 75% of your annual premium, which didn't make sense. So we worked with the regulators to say, let's give a pro rata version to make it more affordable. So things like that, I think, would need pivots so that we make things more meaningful for the consumers and the partners that we work with.
But have you found yourself raising premiums during this time, or is that on hold?
No. So if you look globally on the commercial front, rates have been hardening. Malaysia's been lucky where the rates have not hardened. For us, rates have not gone up per se. You'll notice that, for example, claims for motor claims, the ratio, the loss ratio has dipped slightly because the frequency of the claims, as well as severity, which is the actual amount, has gone down. And that's because there's less motor vehicles. Now, that worked well during the MCO, but as you get the pandemic kind of fatigue, people want to go out more and they want to drive, they don't want to take the trains. So you will see a normalization effect, but we've seen during the MCO that the loss ratio has been lower than previous years.
All right. So taking into account this year of COVID-19, which sector actually has contributed the most to gross written premiums for Zurich?
Well, for Zurich, we've seen motor and fire has grown for us. I would say that personal accident and medical has seen a slight dip. The industry has seen a similar. I would say that the industry grew, I think, 1.1% for motor insurance. For fire, it's about 2.4%. So similar in lines with that, we've seen that in the medical lines and PA has dropped. And same with marine. So I would say that most people have seen that. A lot of that, I would say last year in the second quarter, there's been a massive nosedive in terms of the growth for the industry. But the second half, we've seen a swift recovery, confirming the resiliency of the industry and the needs that we needed to kind of serve. And overall, the industry ended up at about flat growth, which shows that that recovery has happened.
I think the expectations for compound annual growth rates of the industry as a whole have, while growth is still expected, I think the expectation is about half of what it was pre-pandemic. So what are kind of your expectations for Zurich General Insurance Malaysia?
Well, we're going forward into 2021. We're still very cautious. There is an expected recovery of the GDP. And then with that, we do believe that the insurance will recover towards maybe third quarter, fourth quarter is the view. Mm-hmm. But I think what's going to be really important is the deliberate kind of rollout in terms of the vaccinations, the support that the government has for the SMEs and for the average Malaysians, and making sure that people get to some form of normalcy is going to be a key testament to see how fast that recovery is going to happen. So we're cautiously optimistic, and we do think that the growth will get back to where it used to be pre-pandemic around fourth quarter. For us, the most important thing, and you know, maybe pre-pandemic, the focus was about growth and a number of different factors. For us, is just relevancy in the market and having that proper meaning. Because what we realize is that if we're not able to serve our customers well with products that are relevant, then everything else in terms of outcomes won't really matter, right? So for us, it's really about making sure that we really have that focus.
MyCC also made a recent ruling for the general insurance sector, particularly regarding motor insurance. So have you seen any cost implications from this as well?
Well, what we've seen is that the labor rates that are being charged and so forth, it's much more independent and tied to the insurer. So there is some level of flexibility that the insurers have taken to do that. Do I feel that there's a fluctuation in costs? I mean, cost is not just a function of that alone. It is going to be a function in terms of how efficient and how productive our staff are to reduce our cost to serve to the customer. So we've seen an improvement, and we're looking for ways to how do we make that cost translate to savings for our end customers in terms of cheaper premiums.
So another big segment as well, fire insurance. How has this particularly been impacted by COVID-19? Because margins are typically higher in this segment, but with the property market looking weak, what kind of an effect is this going to have on your revenue?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is obviously SMEs that account for a major part of the economic growth, slowdown in terms of the SMEs, or in terms of the impact to their businesses, will impact in terms of their renewal ratios, right? So we do believe that the growth will be slower, but hopefully with the recovery in fourth quarter of 2021, we'll see some normalcy in terms of the contribution to SMEs. I think the second thing is that as consumption rises and home buying resumes, obviously the take up for homeowners insurance will resume. So for the next, I would say, two quarters, there is that pressure. And for those that have close affinity relationships with banks, obviously the disbursement of loans will have a direct correlation in terms of the fire growth. Our view is that the most important thing, there's a number of insurers, including ourselves, that we filed for further temporary liberalization of our rates for some of the profitable classes. And the reason for that is to make the premiums a little bit more affordable for those businesses that most need it. And we're working with the regulators in terms of filing for that. And that's our way of giving back to the community and to our customers in terms of reducing the premium. So there is going to be some pressure. no differently, we will have to drive that growth, and we'll work our partners to ensure that we penetrate and provide protection to all properties. But we are finding ways to make it much more meaningful and affordable for those customers.
But you know, you mentioned the prospect of liberalization and the de-tariffication of fire insurance is something that Bank Negara Malaysia has been looking at. Originally, it was pushed to 2020, didn't really materialize. Now we're in 2021. What is your outlook on this front? And ultimately, do you think it's going to be good for Zurich General Insurance or not so good?
I think it's good for the industry and for consumers. I think liberalization will provide avenues for those that have very low risk assets to avail of cheaper premiums. I think the regulators are very keen on making sure that there's a proper balance.
But it is going to eat away at your margins, isn't it?
Well, I think there needs to be a concerted balance. The margin game for the industry will always have pressures across different dimensions, right? So this is not a protection of margin. This is about making sure that you have the right cover for the right price. And I think that if we feel that we're going to protect margins, I think that is too short-sighted. I think what we need to do is come up with more innovative benefits that serve the customer well, in which we charge premiums that are commensurate with that benefit that we provide. And that forces innovation. So I do think it's a good thing. I know that the regulators are very keen in making sure that there's a control balance, because just liberalizing the market does not necessarily mean that the prices are going to go lower. Prices can go higher for certain risks, right? So how do you balance that? And I know that the regulators are making sure that they have a control methodology to do this. The pandemic kind of threw a spinner into the works. So I do think it's a good thing. And, you know, we will work with the industry association as well as the regulators in terms of making sure that happens for the benefit of consumers, but also forces innovation and simplicity into the marketplace for our consumers.
I'm speaking with Junior Cho, CEO of Zurich General Insurance Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Junior Cho, CEO of Zurich General Insurance Malaysia. So Junior, earlier we were talking about how COVID has impacted different segments of general insurance, considering that borders are closed, travel has come to pretty much to a grinding standstill. New models for travel insurance, though, are something that many in the industry are looking towards as we look ahead to potential post-COVID futures. So is Zurich General Insurance Malaysia trying to come up with a pricing model for travel insurance going forward? Will you be guided perhaps by the regional arm of the organization? What is this looking like?
So Zurich is one of the largest travel entities called Covermore globally. You know, we work with them quite extensively to get certain ideas in terms of the travel trends from an insurance standpoint and the travel assistance kind of features that we can offer to our consumers. So we are looking at developing, and travel can manifest in many different ways, right? So the traditional travel of location assistance, you know, support if you need medical assistance and so forth are the traditional ways. And then travel in terms of just bite-sized travel, right? So we are looking at multiple dimensions for travel. We do know that as there's a pent-up demand for travel, everyone wants to go, and certainly I'm and my family are in that list. So we want to make sure that we are thinking of different ways of the products that will best suit travel for those consumers that want to travel. You know, in the end, what our expectation is that people will have a higher affinity to purchasing protection when they travel, because now they're now understanding the impact it's having. So where the differentiation is going to be is not necessarily the product. It's going to be around the servicing. How quick are you able to service a claim or a claim that's filed to support the needs of those customers? And I think the customer experience will be one key differentiator, as opposed to just the product, that will really drive brand affinity. And I think that's the trend that you will start seeing as people become more competitive, whether it's pricing or even just benefits.
So servicing, but not so much a COVID-specific travel-related product?
I do think that COVID will just become another element of a coverage. So the concept of pandemic will become much more prevalent, right? So I'll give you an example. So in the past, there's a lot of products out there, things such as cancel anytime, meaning for whatever reason you have, you can cancel your trip and you have this cancel anytime benefit. That concept to some degree, will have a lot more popularity because of concerns of things like not COVID specifically, but pandemic related type of exposure. So now the benefit is all great, but the bigger concern or the importance would be more in terms of the experience, right? So as you offer these types of benefits, how quickly can you automate and really ensure consistent customer experience globally for those customers that have purchased this product, so that they walk away saying, wow, you know, I really feel protected because I've had, you know, I purchased a Zurich product. And for us, it's not just a proposition ideation, but it's also the customer experience ideation that's important.
Okay. There are longer standing challenges as well, and digitalization is one of them. So the question then is, whether or not you are going to lose market share in future to disruptors like aggregators, insurtech, which challenge the conventional model of selling insurance, which many insurance companies are still pretty heavily dependent on agents. So what does the future of this look like for Zurich?
We believe that in the digital world, the concept of digital partnerships and ecosystems are going to be key. I think everyone plays a role in terms of the insurance value chain, whether at the point of distribution when you are engaging with consumers, whether it is through an insurtech or whether it's with a partner, distribution will win. But also product innovation and even service and customer experience innovation is going to be key. So I'm less concerned. I think we do need to be adaptable to the changing needs of the customers and the customer behaviors. You know, the gig economy is one example of where the needs of your traditional consumers have changed and will change and will drive further changes. And they also drive the adoption of digital also. So for us, it's not about a protectionist approach. It's more about a collaborative approach that we need to do it because there's no one player that's going to dominate this. I think you'll see much more fragmentation. And the one that can serve the consumer very well in a seamless and a positive customer experience will have that dominance and that relevance. And those that are failing to participate in that kind of ecosystem will not necessarily have that advantage. So we're riding that wave and we're looking to push forward also.
When you say a collaborative approach, does that mean you are potentially looking at collaborations with some of these digital players, insurtechs, in addition to the kind of more traditional route of collaborating with banks?
Yes. So if we look at our partnerships, a lot of our partnerships are with digital players that have depth in terms of digital penetration, maybe distribution depth, and we partner with them. So we have a number of players that we are looking to drive different types of innovative models, business models, as well as propositions or products. But what we also look to do is to bring those partners for our traditional players. So it could be with bank partners, it could be with other traditional strategic partners, so that we can build this ecosystem. The traditional model in the past of having one partner and we work only with one partner does sometimes work. But what we're seeing more is that if those that can bring an ecosystem of partners that create more value for the end consumer tends to win, and there's much more stickiness. And that's the concept that we're approaching the market is, how do we bring in the different partners that we do know to add the value to other partners so that there's a collective kind of aha, where they walk in and say, you know, we think we're doing something that's better. And it could be through insurance, it could be through other partners that they have. Because the way we're approaching digital is insurance is not just to sell it as a standalone. Sometimes insurance can be embedded as a lifestyle product to other products that are being sold by our partners. And I think that's important is, how do we make it most relevant to the consumers? And the ecosystem approach is the most, I would say, logical for us.
And where do agents stand then in this ecosystem? Because I understand that Zurich Australia doesn't use agents anymore. Is that going to be the future as well for Zurich Malaysia?
No. My view is that agents have a very critical role to play. There will be customers that are comfortable and they would want to use an agent. Like myself, I prefer to engage with an agent. You will have other segments that prefer to interact direct or do it themselves. So the key is to have distribution kind of diversity so that you give that flexibility for the consumer to choose. I don't think there will be anyone. I do believe that digitalization will rise and improve, but it will not replace the agents. I think there is a place for every distribution channel. And for us, we just need to make sure that we have proper representation for the consumer so that they can choose whichever channel they want to engage with us we have that offering in place.
What about banks then? Because Zurich General Insurance Malaysia is tied up with Alliance Bank, which is one of Malaysia's smallest banks. Are there any others in the pipeline, considering that you were talking about building an ecosystem of partners, not just a single partner relationship?
So we're extremely thankful and happy to have our partnership with Alliance Bank. They've been a fantastic partner, and we're truly blessed to have that relationship. And for us, we're extremely excited. I don't have a list of banks that we would like to target or are targeting. For us is making sure that we get the relationship right with Alliance Bank and making sure we drive innovation through that partnership. So for us, we do think there's tremendous amount of opportunity. They're actually one of the forefronts in terms of digital and serving the SMEs. So we're happy to continue that collaboration. And if there are other partnerships that do arise that we can bring to Alliance Bank's advantage, then we'll certainly do so as part of the ecosystem concept.
What about mergers and acquisitions, perhaps? Are there any of those on the cards? Because we have seen some inklings of consolidation in the general insurance sector. AmGeneral is one that comes to mind. Are you keeping your eye out for anything here?
We are. I think everyone else is looking and open. We're also open to seeing if there's any good investment opportunities. So certainly if the right kind of acquisition M&A opportunity target comes up, then we'll look to do that. We do know of a couple that are out there, and we're just monitoring the market as we see as it goes along.
Do you think we'll see more consolidation though in the future for the insurance industry?
I do believe that there is going to be more consolidation, and there's much more now than there has been, I would say, in the last 5 to 10 years. So I do think that it will happen. Malaysia is a market that that the group views as very, very important. For us, we're extremely fortunate because we have 4 different licenses for life, family, general takaful, and general insurance. So for us, it's a unique opportunity. And the more we can do to position ourselves to be in the forefront of people's minds as the choice for their protection needs, then for us, if M&A is that strategy, then we'll certainly look to do that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us on The Grill this morning. It's been a pleasure having you, Junior.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Junior Cho, CEO of Zurich General Insurance Malaysia. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.